Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Difficulties. I can't play the clips right now. But the other thing that he wants to have a powerful woman resign over, this Pelosi and CIA thing, the content of it. Is it so inconceivable that CIA officials would lie about their briefings to Congress? We just had on this show the famous former CIA officer Bob Baer, who they made the movie Syriana about, saying they do it routinely. And yesterday, former Army intelligence officer Christopher Pyle explaining how they routinely try to mislead Congress in their briefings when they decide it's in their interest. So Gingrich makes it sound like even raising that possibility of the CIA misleading Congress in briefings is such an affront to patriotism that Pelosi should resign. That, you know, all those people, Bob Graham, Senator Bob Graham, also came on the show and elsewhere to talk about how he had written evidence that the CIA was misleading him when he was head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. That just to raise the question is a capital offense for her job as Speaker. It just flies in the face of a million pieces of evidence.
Well, not just that, Brian. Newt Gingrich himself, about 10 years ago, said that the CIA doesn't always provide candid briefings, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, the hypocrisy kind of never ends. And so at a certain point, I think people tune it out, and they become less and less of a factor in our politics. And so what you're getting here, and I don't think this is particularly healthy for the country, is that this part of the Republican Party is shrinking back on itself, you know, as a it's about 20%. As somebody I know said, the support for this kind of thinking ranges between the old drinking age and the new drinking age. You know, it's 20% of the country. And you can find 20% who will buy just about anything in this country. And I think we shouldn't get too hung up on where that 20% is.
Yes, I guess. But the reason I even bring all of this up is that they get a lot more than 20% of the ink. Newt Gingrich certainly gets more than his share of time on the Sunday morning talk shows.
No question.
And on some of the others. Before you go, Jonathan Alter from Newsweek. Newsweek, there was a big redesign, maybe 2 years ago, and now another one as part of the survival dance in the Internet era. Readership is declining, as with other news weeklies, even though I personally think both Time and Newsweek do some very good longer-form journalism these days. But it is a clunky thing in today's always-on news cycle to be a printed book that comes out once a week. So what is the approach to survival?
Well, first of all, the redesign that we did a couple of years ago was just kind of a freshening up of our look. It wasn't major. What we did a couple of weeks ago was a major relaunching of the magazine to make it more vital for, you know, for a changing world. Our readership has not been declining. What's interesting is the cut in the circulation that we guarantee to advertisers. We decided to cut our own circulation, which is very expensive to maintain, and we didn't want to, you know, send out clock radios or whatever you have to do nowadays.
All this mailing of things.
Yeah, you get then a less intelligent, less affluent, and therefore less attractive to advertisers kind of reader. So we have ourselves cut our rate base. The reason is to attract advertising. Our problem has not been the popularity of the magazine. People love Newsweek, and for good reason. It's been that we've been having more trouble than we should attracting advertising. So we are changing our magazine in aiming it at more of a Brian Lehrer kind of listener, to be perfectly blunt about it. Somebody who is more intelligent, pays more attention to the news, and can therefore get something that is aimed at a higher level.
He's talking about you, people. He's not complimenting me. He's complimenting you, people. You're smart. You pay attention to the news.
Right.
But we knew that. All right. Well, there we have to leave it. And Jonathan Alter, national affairs columnist for Newsweek, who is also author of the book, The Defining Moment, FDR's 100 Days and the Triumph of Hope. I think all those smart people out there enjoyed hearing you today. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up in a minute, we are going to take a look at how President Obama is changing the art on the White House walls. He's doing it with some very conscious designs in mind. And now we're going to open up the phones on the question, what would you like to see the president put on the White House walls? And we want specific pieces of art. What should the president hang on the White House walls? Stay tuned. More of The Brian Lehrer Show coming up on WNYC, FM and AM New York, and WNYC.org.